coming up tomorrow morning. It's the KBOO Morning News at 7 a.m. And at 7:30 is Joanne Bowman hosting Voices from the Edge Talk Radio. Her topic is community change agents. She'll recognize several local change agents and ask you to call in your choices for people who are helping to change the world. At 9, it's Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know, with Teresa Mitchell. At 9:30, Alone Rob interviews sports writer Dave Zirin, author of What's My Name, Fool? Sports and Resistance in the United States. At 10, Andrew Geller speaks with Tom Lutz, author of Doing Nothing, a history of loafers, loungers, sleckers, and bums in America. At 10:30, it's Art Focus with Julie Bernard. And at 11, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. That's all right here on KBOO, your community, nonprofit, volunteer-powered, and listener-sponsored radio station. Thanks for joining us.
This is Independent Native News for Wednesday, the 28th of June. I'm Bonnie Sue Hitchcock. The Liberal opposition in Ottawa is still pressuring the Conservative government to live up to an agreement with Canada's First Nations negotiated last fall. As Craig McCulloch reports, Liberals want to persuade Prime Minister Stephen Harper to implement the promised Kelowna Accord.
Signed in November of last year amongst much ceremony, the Kelowna Accord, named after the town where it was finalized, was negotiated by the then Liberal government. That government fell 2 months later to the Conservative Party of current Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper, who was reluctant to implement the $5.1 billion deal. Representatives from First Nations, Inuit and Métis signed the agreement with the federal government, along with every Canadian province and Northern Territory. Only the federal government has yet to formally adopt the accord. Now in opposition, Liberal Aboriginal Affairs critic Anita Neville recently introduced a resolution to the House of Commons, asking the Conservative government to immediately implement the accord. As there are more opposition members in the House than governing Conservatives, it passed. Neville says she is remaining optimistic the accord will eventually be implemented.
You have to be an optimist. This is really an important issue. This is an issue that's going to have far-reaching implications for how people ultimately do or do not live out their lives. I'm increasingly struck by the tremendous injustice that exists for Aboriginal peoples in a country as wealthy and opulent as ours.
Former Liberal Prime Minister Paul Martin, who agreed to the accord last fall, is now a backbench Liberal member of Parliament. He recently introduced what is called a private members bill that, if passed, would most likely force the minority Conservative government to implement the deal. For their part, the Conservative government says they are implementing different measures that are more realistic and effective than what is promised in the agreement. For Independent Native News, I'm Craig McCulloch.
Tomorrow, June 29th, is the 100th anniversary of Mesa Verde National Park in Colorado. KSUT's Jones Whistler has this profile on the park's centennial anniversary.
On May 23rd, the Longhouse held the first gathering it has had in perhaps 800 years when First Lady Laura Bush attended one of the many of this year's centennial celebrations at Mesa Verde.
These dwellings also show us the connection between the ancestral Pueblo people and their descendants who live in the Southwest today.
Peter Pino is the tribal administrator for the Zia Pueblo in New Mexico. Zia is one of 24 modern-day tribes that are culturally affiliated with Mesa Verde. Pino described an upsetting experience that occurred on a tour of Mesa Verde as a child.
I heard the tour guide saying that the people left somewhere towards the end of 1200 and 1300, and they mysteriously disappeared and nobody knew where they went.
But Pino said since he was 16 years old, he has heard his elders spend about 3 hours each year telling a very different story.
On December 29th of every year, the religious elder of the community tells the story of the origin of the Zia people and the migration route that they took the places that they went through. They have place names for many of the sites that they called home for a period of time. And Mesa Verde was such a place. Our Indian name for that place is Kashkatut, which means a place of many houses, a place with many huge structures.
While park officials have over the years informally talked with modern-day Pueblo Indians, it's only in the last 15 years or so that park officials actively, formally began consulting them. This is partly thanks to NAGPRA, the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act of 1990. NAGPRA discussions led to the sharing about other critical and sensitive issues. It was by request of today's Pueblo Indians that the early residents be called ancient Puebloans rather than Anasazi. NAGPRA brought Pino into the discussions with park management, and he says he's been involved ever since because of the connection to his past and the spirits of his forefathers. Here he gives the closing prayer at the visit of the First Lady. From KSUT, Four Corners Public Radio, I'm Joan Swisler.
This is Independent Native News. I'm Bonnie Sue Hitchcock.
Supported by News from Indian Country's e-edition, online at IndianCountryNews.com.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Coming to the KBOO radio airwaves Monday, July 3rd at 11 p.m. The Capitalist Manifesto meets the Wizard of Oz.
George W. Bush is the scarecrow without a brain.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
The rest of his administration are the heartless tins woodsmen, and the Democrats are the cowardly lions who lack a spine.
The UBU Hour Radio Theater Show brings you the Capitalist Manifesto.
Meets the Wizard of Oz.
Coming to the KBOO airwaves Monday, July 3rd at 11 p.m.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.